Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the Sunday called Septuagesima, or the third Sunday before Lent, titled, So Run That You May Obtain. Today's lessons appear to make points that contradict each other, and that always makes for an interesting meditation. The epistle seems to be telling us that Christians have to be highly disciplined and need to keep at their discipline all the time, or they run the risk of being lost. The gospel, on the other hand, suggests that it doesn't matter much when you decide to pull yourself together. God will take you in at the end the same way as he will take you at the beginning. St. Paul is writing to his problematic church in Corinth, and he is trying to persuade them to take him seriously. In chapter 9 of his first letter to them, he goes on for a while about why clergymen should be paid for what they do, and then he turns around and says he won't take any money from them. Then he describes his own strategy for dealing with people, which he summarizes in the familiar phrase, all things to all men. We normally use that phrase negatively to describe someone who has no fixed principles and is willing to compromise anything to get people on his side. St. Paul uses it positively as a way of describing how one has to meet everyone at his own level to be able to communicate the gospel to him. Then comes today's epistle selection. St. Paul says that being a Christian is like being in training to compete in a foot race. You have to subject yourself to discipline. The exercises and road work of the runner, the church attendance, prayer, Bible study, self-examination, and tithing of the Christian, these are two significant differences. First of all, only one runner can win any given race. But in the Christian race, everybody who makes it to the end is a winner. The other differences come in the prize. In first century Greek athletic contests, the prize for winning a foot race was a wreath of laurel leaves. Laurel leaves don't last forever. They rot. They are a corruptible crown, as St. Paul puts it. The Christian is in training for a prize that will last forever, the prize of eternal life, a crown that will never rot or fade away. St. Paul's greatest fear is that after he has preached so cleverly and effectively to others, he himself may be lost at the end. That will not be because God is fickle, but because his own discipline and sense of purpose may itself fade away. That's St. Paul. The gospel is the parable of the workers in the vineyard. A man who owns a vineyard hires some workers first thing in the morning and agrees to pay them what the King James Version of the Bible calls a penny. That is a coin equal to a fair day's wage. He hires other workers throughout the day, ending with a group that winds up working only 1 hour. When the time comes to dole out the wages, the ones who worked only an hour get a penny. The ones that have worked all day assume that they will receive proportionally more, and they are disappointed and angry when they, too, are paid a penny. The owner tells them, "You have no right to be angry. I told you I would give you a penny if you worked all day, and I have done just that. You have no call to be jealous because I have been generous to these other people." It is a good idea not to push Jesus' parables beyond their breaking point, but it is pretty clear that the vineyard owner represents God. The penny is salvation, and the workers who are hired are human beings whom God calls into a relationship with him. God calls some people early. They could represent the Jews, who were God's chosen people from the time of Abraham. He calls other people later on. They could represent the Gentiles, who get to be chosen only after Jesus comes to earth, and most Jews reject him. The different times of hiring also stand for the fact that people get themselves straightened out with God at different points in their lives. Some are pretty well on board from their childhoods on. Others take longer, and some don't come round until they are approaching their death. The fact is that no matter when you let God put you right with him, you get the same reward. There is no such thing as being more saved or less saved, or more united to Jesus or less united, or more a member of the church or less a member. The advantage of doing it early is that you have more time in this world to enjoy the relationship to God that will carry on into eternity. So the lessons don't really contradict one another. They merely focus upon two different facts of what the Christian life is like. Pre-Lent, the Jessima season, is a time to shift gears away from the more joyful seasons of Christmas and Epiphany to get ourselves ready for the more rigorous fasting season of Lent. So we need both insights. St. Paul's ideas about discipline and the dangers of being lost remind us that Lent will be the time when we try to face what draws us away from Christ and make a sincere effort to eliminate it. But the message of the gospel has to remain before our eyes as well. God will accept us and save us whenever and however we decide to turn to him. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed, as this most justly do, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.